India just invited every major AI CEO on the planet to New Delhi, and they all showed up. Pichai, Altman, Amade, all sitting in the same room while India unveils 12 homegrown AI models and tells the world the Global South isn't waiting for permission anymore. Welcome to AI Pulse for Monday, February 16th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your analyst.
Hope you had a good weekend, Marcus, because Monday came in swinging. India is hosting the first major global AI summit ever held in the Global South, and the guest list reads like a who's who of the entire industry. China's AI blitz just keeps going. We've got new models from ByteDance, Jipu, and Kuaishou, and one of them is raising serious questions about chip export controls. The SaaS meltdown we've been tracking hit a new milestone, $285 billion gone in a week. OpenAI launches a brand new enterprise agent platform called Frontier, with some very big-name partners. And Intel and SoftBank have a new memory chip architecture that could challenge NVIDIA's grip on AI hardware. Let's get into it. So Marcus, the India AI Impact Summit 2026 kicked off today in New Delhi. This feels like a genuinely significant moment, not just another tech conference.
It is. This is the first time a Global South country has hosted an AI summit of this scale and stature. India's timing is deliberate. They held the AI Action Summit in Paris last year. France hosted the UK AI Safety Summit the year before that. India looked at the calendar and said, "The next chapter of this conversation should include the countries where most of the world's population actually lives."
And the attendance is remarkable. Sundar Pichai, Sam Altman, Dario Amade, Jensen Huang, all confirmed.
Along with representatives from over 100 countries. But here's what makes this more than a photo op. India is using the summit to debut 12 indigenous foundation models. These aren't fine-tuned versions of Western models. They're built from the ground up in India, trained on Indian languages, Indian data, optimized for Indian use cases.
12 models. That's a lot. What do we know about them?
Details are still emerging as the summit unfolds today. But the focus areas include agriculture, healthcare, education, and government services. India has over 1 billion people who speak languages that are dramatically underrepresented in Western AI training data. Hindi, Bengali, Tamil, Telugu, Marathi. Building foundation models natively in those languages isn't just a technical exercise. It's a statement about whose needs AI should serve.
This connects to a bigger geopolitical shift, doesn't it? We've been covering the US-China AI race for months, but India is essentially saying there's a third lane.
Exactly. And it's a lane with enormous strategic significance. India has the world's largest population, a massive and growing tech workforce, and a government that's been aggressively digitizing public services through platforms like Aadhaar and UPI. They've demonstrated they can build digital infrastructure at population scale. Now, they're applying that same ambition to AI.
How does this play with the major AI companies? Because Pichai and Altman didn't fly to New Delhi just to be polite.
No, they didn't. India represents a market of 1.4 billion people, with rapidly increasing internet penetration and smartphone adoption. For Google, OpenAI, and Anthropic, India is arguably the single largest untapped market for AI products. But India is also signaling that it wants to be a builder, not just a consumer. Those 12 foundation models are India saying, "We'll partner with you, but we're also building our own."
Is there a risk that India's models won't be competitive with what's coming out of the US and China?
On raw benchmark performance, probably not initially. But competitiveness isn't just about benchmarks. An Indian model that deeply understands Hindi idioms, Indian legal frameworks, agricultural patterns in the Deccan Plateau, that model is more useful to an Indian farmer or a small business owner in Mumbai than GPT-5, regardless of what GPT-5 scores on some abstract reasoning test. The value is in the relevance, not the raw capability.
Marcus, do you think this changes the conversation about AI governance? Because so far, the rules have basically been written by the US, the EU, and to some extent, China.
It has to. India has been vocal about wanting AI governance that reflects the priorities of developing nations, not just Western concerns about existential risk or Chinese concerns about social stability. India's priorities are more practical. How does AI help feed people? How does it improve healthcare access in rural areas? How does it create jobs rather than destroy them? Those questions deserve a seat at the table, and this summit is India pulling up a chair.
Let's move to China, because as we covered extensively over the weekend, the pace of releases has been relentless. But Marcus, there are new developments since yesterday that are worth highlighting.
Right. So we covered ByteDance's Seedance 2.0 and the Hollywood deepfake firestorm, Jipu's GLM-5 on Huawei chips, Kuaishou's Kling 3.0, and Alibaba's Rinebrain over the past few days. What's new today is ByteDance dropping Doubao 2.0, which is their multimodal conversational model. Think of it as ByteDance's answer to ChatGPT. It handles text, image, and voice in a single interface.
So ByteDance now has both a video generation model and a conversational AI model. They're going full stack.
Full stack and full speed. Doubao 2.0 is being offered at prices that are frankly absurd compared to Western equivalents. This is the same pricing strategy we've seen from DeepSeek and other Chinese labs. Build something competitive, then undercut the market so aggressively that you force Western companies to either match your prices or justify a premium.
And Jipu's GLM-5 story has gotten even more interesting. We talked yesterday about the 745 billion parameter model trained entirely on Huawei Ascend chips. But I understand the open source angle is significant.
It's huge. GLM-5 is fully open source, MIT license, meaning anyone anywhere can use it, modify it, deploy it commercially without restriction. And with 744 billion parameters and benchmark scores competitive with Claude and GPT-5, this is the most capable fully open-source model in the world right now. The fact that it was trained without a single NVIDIA chip makes it a proof of concept for countries and companies that can't access American hardware.
Which is basically every country on the U.S. export control list.
And plenty that aren't, but would prefer not to be dependent on a single American supplier for their AI infrastructure. When we covered this story over the weekend, I said the export controls question needed to be re-examined. The more I look at GLM-5, the stronger that case gets.
All right, the SaaS apocalypse. As we reported yesterday, Claude Cowork on Windows triggered a massive sell-off in enterprise software stocks. The number we had was $285 billion in market value erased. Marcus, is there anything new today?
The sell-off continued into Monday futures. Atlassian is now down 35% from its pre-Cowork peak in just 1 week. That's extraordinary for a company of that size. And the pattern is spreading beyond the initial names we flagged. Companies in HR tech, customer support software, project management, basically any vertical SaaS category where an AI agent could plausibly automate the core workflow, is getting hit.
35% for Atlassian in 1 week. That's Jira, Confluence, Trello, tools that basically every software team uses.
Right. And the market's logic is straightforward, even if it's brutal. If Claude Cowork can manage tasks, track projects, write documentation, and coordinate across teams, and it's included in a Claude subscription, then why does a company need a separate $20 per seat project management tool? Maybe they still do. Atlassian has deep integrations and years of workflow customization that a plugin can't replicate overnight. But the maybe is what's killing the stock price. Investors are repricing from certainty to uncertainty, and uncertainty at scale wipes out hundreds of billions.
We've been saying the companies that adapt will survive. Are any of them adapting yet?
Some are moving faster than others. Salesforce announced deeper AI integrations across its platform. ServiceNow is positioning its AI capabilities as complementary to agents rather than competitive with them. But adapting means fundamentally rethinking your business model. And that's hard to do in a week when your stock is in freefall. The companies that had already been investing heavily in AI, they're better positioned. The ones that were still treating AI as a feature add-on rather than a strategic pivot, those are the ones bleeding the most.
News story today. Anthropic and OpenAI both ran Super Bowl campaigns, and we covered that rivalry over the past few days. But there's a concrete number now on who won that battle.
Anthropic saw an 11% increase in daily active users directly attributable to their No Ads in Claude Super Bowl campaign. That's a meaningful lift for a product in this category. The ads, which we covered Friday, were titled things like Deception and Betrayal, and showed AI assistants interrupting helpful conversations to pitch products. The tagline was, "Ads are coming to AI, but not to Claude."
And meanwhile, ChatGPT actually rolled out ads for free and go-tier users this week. So Anthropic's campaign wasn't hypothetical. It was commenting on something real.
Exactly. OpenAI's ad rollout is now live. Free users and go-tier subscribers are seeing ads in their ChatGPT sessions. Sam Altman's argument, which is legitimate, is that ads subsidize access for people who can't afford a subscription. The counterargument, which Anthropic is making loudly and effectively, is that ads in a conversational AI create at minimum the perception of compromised objectivity.
11% DAU increase. That suggests the messaging resonated.
It resonated with a specific audience, people who are willing to pay for a premium, ad-free AI experience. Whether that audience is large enough to sustain Anthropic's business at its current valuation is the longer-term question. But in the short term, the campaign was a clear win.
OpenAI had its own big announcement this week that we haven't covered yet. A new enterprise platform called OpenAI Frontier. Marcus, what is this?
OpenAI Frontier is essentially an AI agent platform built for large enterprises. The pitch is that companies can deploy AI agents that operate across their existing systems, handling complex multi-step workflows with human oversight. The launch partners tell you a lot about the ambition. Uber, State Farm, Intuit. These aren't startups experimenting with AI. These are massive companies with millions of customers.
What would an AI agent actually do at Uber or State Farm?
At Uber, think about a customer service agent that can handle a dispute from start to finish. Not just answer a question, but actually access the trip data, review the charges, issue a refund or credit, and follow up. At State Farm, imagine a claims processing agent that can review documentation, cross-reference policy details, assess damage estimates, and initiate payments, all while keeping a human in the loop for final approval. At Intuit, it's tax preparation workflows that can gather documents, identify deductions, flag anomalies, and prepare filings.
So, this is OpenAI's play for enterprise revenue beyond just API calls and ChatGPT subscriptions.
It's a significant strategic move. OpenAI has been primarily a consumer and developer platform. Frontier is their bid for the enterprise market, where the real money is. Enterprise AI contracts are multi-year, high-value, and sticky. Once a company deploys AI agents across its operations, switching costs are enormous. This is OpenAI trying to lock in enterprise relationships before Anthropic's Claude Cowork or Google's Gemini enterprise offerings can get too far ahead.
How does this relate to the SaaSpocalypse we just discussed? Because OpenAI building enterprise agents seems like it compounds the same problem for SaaS companies.
It absolutely does. If OpenAI Frontier can handle customer service at Uber, that's work that might have previously required a Zendesk or Freshdesk deployment. If it can do claims processing at State Farm, that's Guidewire or Duck Creek territory. Every major AI company, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, is building agent platforms that can potentially displace specialized enterprise software. The SaaS squeeze is coming from all directions simultaneously.
Here's one I find fascinating. Intel and SoftBank jointly announced a new memory architecture called XAM, and it could shake up the AI chip supply chain. Marcus, explain this one for us.
So right now, the dominant memory technology for AI chips is HBM, high bandwidth memory. We literally talked about Samsung shipping HBM4 on Saturday. HBM works by stacking memory chips vertically and connecting them to the processor with tiny wires called through-silicon vias. It's fast and it works, but it's expensive, it's power-hungry, and the supply is constrained, which is part of why NVIDIA's AI chips cost so much.
And XAM does something different?
XAM stands for Zero Effort AI Memory. It uses what Intel and SoftBank are calling diagonal interconnects instead of vertical stacking. Without getting too deep into the physics, the key advantages are significantly lower power consumption and potentially lower manufacturing costs because it doesn't require the same precision stacking that HBM demands.
So this could challenge NVIDIA's position because NVIDIA's moat isn't just the GPU. It's the entire ecosystem, including the memory.
It's not going to displace HBM overnight. Samsung and SK Hynix have invested billions in HBM manufacturing, and the entire AI chip ecosystem is built around it. But if XAM delivers on its promises, it gives chip designers an alternative memory architecture that's cheaper and more power efficient. And in a world where AI data centers are consuming enormous amounts of electricity, power efficiency is becoming a critical differentiator.
Intel has been struggling in the AI chip market. Is this their play to get back in the game?
Intel has been hemorrhaging market share to NVIDIA and AMD in AI hardware. XAM, combined with their partnership with SoftBank, is an attempt to leapfrog the current generation rather than play catch-up. Whether it works depends on whether chip designers adopt it and whether the manufacturing can scale. But the concept is sound, and the fact that SoftBank is backing it with their capital gives it credibility.
Quick hit on the developer community. We've been tracking OpenClaw, formerly ClaudeBot, the open-source project that hit 146,000 GitHub stars in 5 days. Marcus, what's the latest?
OpenClaw is part of a broader trend that's worth calling out. There's an explosion of personal AI projects on GitHub right now. Developers are building local-first AI tools, personal assistants, code generation pipelines, all running on their own hardware. OpenClaw hit 146,000 stars in 5 days, which is extraordinary, but it's not an isolated phenomenon. The developer community is increasingly going local-first with AI, meaning running models on their own machines rather than depending on cloud APIs.
Why the shift to local?
A few reasons. Privacy, obviously. Cost, because API calls add up fast. And control. When you run a model locally, you're not subject to a provider's content policies, rate limits, or pricing changes. The availability of increasingly capable open-source models, like the GLM-5 we just discussed, makes local deployment viable in a way it wasn't even 6 months ago.
Though we should note that OpenClaw still has that 8.8 severity security vulnerability we flagged last week.
It does, and the broader Multbook Autonomous Agent Network continues to grow. Security remains the Achilles heel of this whole local-first AI movement. The enthusiasm is outrunning the infrastructure for keeping these systems safe.
Last one before we wrap up. Samsung's Galaxy Unpacked event is February 25th, 9 days from now, and the leaks are getting more specific. Marcus, what are we hearing about the Galaxy S26?
Samsung is positioning the S26 as what they're calling the first truly agentic AI phone. The core idea is a revamped Bixby assistant, potentially integrated with Perplexity search technology, that can execute multi-step tasks autonomously. Not just answer questions, but actually do things across your apps. Order food, manage your calendar, handle messages, book travel, all through natural conversation.
We covered this yesterday, and I made the Siri comparison. Has anything changed?
The new detail is the Perplexity integration. If Samsung is combining their on-device AI with Perplexity search and reasoning capabilities, that's a more serious proposition than Bixby has ever been. Perplexity has built a genuinely good AI search product, and marrying that with Samsung's hardware reach. Remember, Samsung is the world's largest smartphone maker. That's a combination worth watching.
February 25th. We'll be covering it live. All right, Marcus. Big picture Monday. New week. What's the landscape?
The landscape this week is about who gets to shape AI's future. India is saying the global south gets a voice, not just the US, EU, and China. China is proving it doesn't need Western chips or Western permission to build world-class models. Enterprise software companies are discovering they don't get to keep their business models just because they've had them for 20 years. And consumers are about to find out whether agentic AI on their phones is real or just marketing.
There's a democratization theme running through all of it. AI isn't just the domain of 3 countries and 5 companies anymore.
That's the optimistic read, and I think it's the right one. The India summit is genuinely important. 12 foundation models in Indian languages, built for Indian problems. GLM-5, open-sourced for anyone to use. OpenClaw and the local first developer movement. AI is spreading outward from its centers of origin. The question, as always, is whether the institutions, the legal frameworks, the labor markets, the safety infrastructure can spread with it.
Last week, you said the money is moving faster than the wisdom. This week?
This week, the technology is moving faster than the geography. AI used to be a Silicon Valley story. Now it's a New Delhi story, a Beijing story, a Seoul story. The map is getting bigger. Let's hope the playbook keeps up.
That's your AI Pulse for Monday, February 16th, 2026. We'll see you tomorrow.